Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, November 11th, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 67, the second paragraph that begins with referring to our list again, and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Shelley E., who will be reading the 12 steps, Athena B. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Becca R. and Sandy W. The share ID for Sunday, November 10th, the special edition, is 13,643. That's 13643. And for this morning's November 11th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 13,644. That's 13644. Our newcomer greeter for today is Ramona A., and Reggio will be making the announcement. DOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Shelley E. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for your service. Good morning, friends. I'm Shelley E., a gratefully recovered one day at a time compulsive overeater in Texas. And here are the steps we took. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service. Can't wait to meet everybody, and I pass.
Thank you, Shelley E. And Athena B., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
I would be happy to. Good morning, everyone. This is Athena B., a compulsive overeater from Northern California, and these are our traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so much for letting me do service. I pass.
And thank you, Athena B.
You're welcome.
How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 67, the second paragraph that begins with referring to our list again. We'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And Becca R., if you could get us started, please.
Thanks so much. This is Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater in Kentucky. Referring to our list again, putting out of our minds the wrongs others had done, we resolutely looked for our own mistakes. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? Though a situation had not been entirely our fault, we tried to disregard the other person involved entirely. Where were we to blame? The inventory was ours, not the other man's. When we saw our faults, we listed them. We placed them before us in black and white. We admitted our wrongs honestly, and we were willing to set these matters straight. And this brings up just, I can remember being a nurse in the ICU, and we had this nursing station, and we would all just gather there and complain and whine and talk about how, you know, our patients, the doctors, this and that, or our husbands, and, you know, it was such a negative, toxic place. And so that's what I came into recovery with, is I knew how to have a support system, but were they really supporting me? And so I'm so grateful that my sponsor really pressed upon me not only to, you know, utilize her, but to develop a support system of people who were going to help me to see the truth, to speak program and recovery. Because if I'm upset and I go to someone who's not, who doesn't understand my illness, and my illness is that resentments will kill me, they're fatal. But if I go to someone who just fuels that and, yeah, you're right, how dare them, you know, that's old behavior for me. And so I go to where I know, I will hear recovery. And, that looked like in the beginning, listening to the meetings, and people who spoke that really resonated with me, I would write their names down and go to the website and look up their names. And if I was too shy, I'd get their email and I'd send them an email. You know, I really enjoyed what you shared. I can relate to da 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 da. Can I call you? And that's how a lot of my support system relationships bloomed. And I'm just so grateful that we can go straight to, you know, the solution, which is in that 10th step, working the problem through the columns and getting to, you know, help me see where have I been selfish? Where have I been dishonest, self-seeking and frightened? And I need someone. I need another person who's connected to God, who's going to show me this, not someone who's going to say, you know, darn right, you don't deserve that, you poor thing. You know, I need recovery when it comes to this. And so that's what came up for me. I'm really excited to hear what everybody else's shares are. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Becca R. Okay, who else would like to share on this paragraph? Page 67, the second paragraph.
Laura W.
Irene. Again.
And
Laura W., Irene B.,
Lisa G.,
Sharon K.,
Sharon K.,
Reggie O.,
and Lindsay S. Okay, I'm going to stop right, Lindsay. And I think I had, was that Deborah at the end?
Yes.
Deborah, what was your first initial, Deborah?
G.
G, okay. Okay, cool. Okay, so I have Laura W., Irene B., Lisa G., Sharon K., Reggie O., Lindsay S., and Deborah G. So go ahead, Laura W.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Thanks. I'm recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. I've been listening this morning to both meetings, and it's a great reminder, this paragraph, of how incomplete my first fourth step was. You know, the first three columns I didn't really have too much trouble with, but I really didn't turn that page and follow the directions. It's sort of like, you know, going to IKEA and getting a bookcase and looking at your directions and only, like, putting together everything on the first page, but not flipping the page over and finishing the steps on the second page. That bookcase is going to fall apart. Just like if I don't do this fourth column, my life will fall apart because I'm not looking at how I set the ball rolling. And I don't even like to say what's my part in it, because if I say what's my part, it gives the other, you know, it gives me you know, the okay to say, well, the other person had a part too. And maybe they did, but that's not what this is about. This is about my cleaning my side of the street. Their side of the street can stay a total mess. That's not my job. What my job is to look at where my role is in this event, in this resentment, in this fear, in this anger. Where have I been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and afraid? And for me, I find that fear is at the root of all of my character defects. You know, it's something that even though a situation says has not been entirely my fault, I have to disregard the other person entirely. The inventory is ours. You know, I hear over and over, how free do I want to be? We saw our faults. We listed them. There's the direction there. I have to list them. I've got to put them down. We placed them before us in black and white. So I need to put them down on paper. And we admitted our wrongs honestly. And, you know, I just feel that without doing this part of the fourth step, I can't stay recovered. You know, I'm going to stay stuck. I'm going to stay stuck in the resentment. You know, the first three columns will just keep me exactly where I don't want to be. I need to go forward. I need to move forward. I need to change, and I need to take action, because, you know, prayer without action is just fantasy, and action without prayer is self-will. So I need to move forward and ask my higher power, okay, God, I'm ready to change. I don't want to be like I used to be anymore. And He will, and He will, and He does. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Laura W. All righty, Irene B., you're up next, followed by Lisa G.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. Oh, my gosh. I love what somebody said earlier. We stand on the shoulders of giants, and all of you are giants. I learned so much from you, and I am so thankful. I love everybody share, and I just think that God is speaking to me through you guys. Thank you for sharing your experience, strength, and hope. It opens up my world. It opens up my eyes. I have so much I want to say. I don't know where to begin. I will say that we uncover, discover, and discard. And for me, the biggest thing is I discard these things, but I don't know what to replace them with. And it's really intuitive. When you replace it with a bad thing, the natural good thing's going to come up. But for me, it didn't work that way because I'm too stubborn. And I love the analogy of the inventory of a business, taking an inventory and getting ready to get rid of everything that is in no good condition, everything that is not sellable. But guess what? If that's all you do, if that's where you stop, you're going to go out of business because you're not going to have anything to sell. You have got to replace the goods with the good stuff. You've got to replace the goods. We can't stop at throwing everything away because we're going to have nothing but empty shelves. So what do we replace it with? What we talk about here, service. We replace it with service. We replace it with honesty. And I have to say that all of my life I have been such a victim that I have been so blind to my part. I have been completely oblivious to how I set the ball rolling. And when people retaliate, I'm dumbfounded. I have no idea why, because I'm oblivious to my own stepping on people's toes. So I know that God's going to work on that on my life, and that I know he's going to show me how I step on people's toes, because I do that. I still do that, and I don't know what it is that I do, but I step on people's toes, and I want to stop doing it, and I don't know what it is that I'm doing it, but I trust that God's going to show me that. And I do know one thing. I blame my poor father for everything that was wrong with me. Yes, he was not the best father. Yes, he was. There were many things about him, but what about my part? And I remember one time he told me with such a sad face, and it breaks my heart, how he resented when he found out that I was bulimic, and he would spend hundreds of dollars on groceries, and they would disappear, and the food would disappear, and he'd have to go buy more groceries again. And I just took that for granted. I never saw how that would lead him to be resentful, but he had every right to be resentful. And when he said that to me, oh, okay, I will have to pass. I just have to say that I had to admit, and I couldn't admit it, and I was angry at him for saying that to me because I was so ashamed, but I did not know I was ashamed that I passed. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Irene B. Okay, Lisa G., you're up next, followed by Sharon K.
Good morning. This is Lisa G., recovered in Texas. You know, reading this paragraph, the sentence putting out of our minds, it made me think about when I was in the food for so many years, I put everything out of my mind. And now, in doing the fourth step, I have to put out of my mind, I have to put back in my mind, you know, what the heck's going on in my life, and I can't blame other people. And that fourth step was super hard for me to do. That was my experience, because when I was in the food, which was for many, many years, and probably before that, but honestly, I just have so little memories, I always blamed you, because I was such a nice person, and I was so sweet, and I loved you, and I was kind and considerate, and, you know, it's real painful to find out how maybe there's some truth to that part, but there was a lot of truth to you know, placing all the blame on other people. And then I had no responsibility to change myself. And it's a very painful thing to go through. And also, I have to say that when I went through the fourth step, again, my experience was that it wasn't as real. I don't know how to say this. It wasn't as real as doing 10th steps are now. Because now when I do a 10th step, and whoever I'm talking to on the phone, when I ask them for their feedback, they may say something to me that just turns on the light bulb. that I just didn't see, because I've created such a thick wall of denial. And so, you know, listening to somebody else when they hear what I have to say and then they give me feedback is like, oh, it's like taking a heavy, horrible, smelly, gross blanket off of me that's been sitting there for 5 million years. And this is an incredibly, it's just a wonderful process, you know, and it really does give freedom, and it lightens the load of life. It just totally lightens the load of life. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa G. Sharon K., your turn, followed by Reggie O.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, perfect. I love the fourth step. And although, you know, it was one of the steps that scared me to death when I first came into program. And, you know, my perspective I have now is that with program, everything has to change. I spent my life developing coping strategies, and those coping strategies were what was ruining my life. And the fourth step was one of the first opportunities I had to really change what I had done. My coping strategy was to hide. You know, as opposed to blaming everyone else, I blamed myself for everything. I hated myself. Like, I just was full of self-hatred. And the way I coped with that was to hide. Like, I just did not tell anyone. Like, I just hid in the background. And so bringing things to light was a completely new experience for me. And I've done four steps for years. And it does. I loved what the previous caller said about taking an old smelly blanket. When I have the right kind of process with my fifth step, all of a sudden I see things in a completely different light. And the resentment, like, it's not like I have to work at being nicer or do anything. The resentment, like, literally evaporates. And then it teaches me that this skill is a different way of living. And every day I have to work at expanding my comfort zone and live in a different way, because my old way of living was what created all the problems that led me to the food. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you, Sharon K. Okay, Reggie O., you're up next, followed by Lindsay S.
Oh, thank you, Kathleen O., and good morning, everybody. This is Reggie O., very gratefully recovered in the Los Angeles area. And, boy, just, you know, this is so potent. It used to be so scary, you know, looking at myself, what, you know, what have I done? What are my mistakes? And, but I, you know, having gone through the steps many times and done many fourth steps, it's like, boy, it's just what a gift, you know, what a gift, and a gift that we take into our ongoing recovery, which is step 10, is working these. And I was thinking, you know, it came to me at one point that this is like crossing the bridge. There's a crossing of the bridge between steps 2 and 3, you know, where we leave the bridge of reason and step onto the shore of faith and turn our will and our lives over, make a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. And in this fourth step, it's like, this part's like crossing a bridge to me. It's like we put aside, we step beyond what other people have done. We name it. We talk about the causes and how they affected us very briefly, so we don't get lost in story. And then we cross the bridge, and now it's all about me, you know. And I had somebody who took me through the steps once. We still talk, of course. And she said, if the problem is not me, there's absolutely nothing I can do about it. So if I live on the other side of the bridge with what someone has done to me and how it's affected me, I can't change it. I can only grow more resentful. I can only get more deeply into my, you know, whatever self-pity or whatever it is, anger that I may be feeling. But when I get here, it's so powerful for me to see. And I had a good example of this in a tent yesterday. When I was meditating in the morning, it came to me, oh, yeah, there's this tent I've been, there's this resentment I've been holding on to since Thursday. And I called someone and went through a 10th step, you know, the one person or one person version of the fourth step. And And when I always love to get feedback, because this feedback, like the reader shared today, you know, it's helping me look at what I can do differently and where I was at fault. And she, you know, she asked me, do you want me to show you something? And she went right clear to where I was, to what, where I was at fault. And it was like, oh yeah, you know, that's what I'm working on in my life and my program, that particular issue that she pointed out. And here it was again, showing up, with my dentist. So it, you know, it's really just amazing. And I'm always remember too, I used to not like it, but I certainly do now in the 12 and 12, the AA 12 and 12, you know, it says there's step 10, there's a spiritual axiom. And that axiom is that every time we are disturbed, no matter what the cause, there is something wrong with us. I can't change the other person. I can only do my part. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Reggio. Okay, Lindsay S., you're up next, followed by Deborah G.
Hi, this is Lindsay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. I'm Lindsay. I'm a compulsive overeater from Colorado. I've been listening to this meeting since this February, but I've never shared before, so this is my first time. I'm a little nervous, but... a commitment to sponsors makes you do crazy things. So this morning on the fourth step, I just wanted to say originally, I was not afraid to do the fourth step. I was like, I was so into the fact that there was a solution. I was just ready to do the work. And one of the hardest resentments I had was basically around some abusive relationships. And it was like, where do I find my part in that? What I came to is simply was I picked them. And it was a huge kind of just kind of relief that I did the best I could with what I knew. And it wasn't like I was blaming myself or feeling, which blame doesn't equal shame, that I did the best I could with what I knew. And but it was clear that was my part, that I picked them, and that was enough for me to feel that I'd done my work in the fourth step. And now today, more timely is, you know, my selfishness in like as simply as not wanting to answer the phone at work because I'm afraid of what's going to happen. You know, what kind of situation is coming in down the other line? I'd rather hear a message and give me heads up. But I'm learning, and it's selfishness, it's fear, and it's a simple action. But it's all my part, and it's something that I pray about almost daily to have that removed. And let's see, a lot of this is just accepting my own humanness that came out of a fifth step, and it's okay to be human. And to make mistakes. And I'm so grateful that we have these tools, the fourth step initially, and then the 10th step on a regular basis to clean house and to live the solution. I'm so grateful that there is a solution. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Lindsay. Yes. Okay, before we take Deborah G., just a reminder, we are on page 67, the second paragraph, referring to our list again. We're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And after Deborah G., I'll be taking some more names. So go ahead, please, Deborah G.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deborah, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And thank you all so much for your service and your shares today. And, you know, I continue to see when my selfish, self-centered, fear, ego pops up. And I'm just so grateful that I have these beautiful 12 steps to do something about it and repetitively keep doing something about it. You know, I've learned from repetitively going through this work, this format, and seeing me, because it's all about me, keeping the focus, turning it around about me and writing, getting pen and paper, writing out all those ego, selfish, self-centered statements with the self-esteem, the ambitions, the pride, getting all that out on paper so I can get to that place of getting free of that to see me, my part, and you know, I have so many roles, like taking things personally and arguing with reality and negative imagination, not setting boundaries, victim martyr posture, unrealistic expectations, the need to be right, reliving the story, something that's not my business. I mean, and the list goes on. It's all, it's interesting to see who I am and how these things come up. And then the big one is a consideration question. Have I ever done what they did? And that gets me to a place of an open heart of compassion, because I'm not alone and we're all in this together. And yeah, so recently I did that. And, you know, I really had to look at, with my work, I need to retire. You know, because of doing the work, I had to look at, because I'm one of those that stays in situations too long. I've been there since June of 91, previous job, long time too. And it's time to retire, and I'm excited for my new life and how it's going to unfold. So much love. Have a beauty day.
Thank you, Deborah G. Okay, who else would like to share on the second paragraph, page 67?
Leah S.
Sandy W.
Leah S. Sandy W.
Diana, Seattle.
Who in Seattle?
Diana K.
Diana K.
Sandra C.
Sandra C.
Donna B.
Donna B. I think I can take one more. Okay, we'll stop there then.
Sarah G.
So, who is that? Sarah G. What is? Can you say your name again?
Dianor.
Okay, I didn't hear. I didn't get that person after Donna, before Dion. I'm sorry. So. Here's who I have. I have Leah S., Sandy W., Diana K., Sandra C., Donna B., and Dion R. So go ahead, please, Leah S.
Thank you so much. Thank you. My name is Leah S., and I'm recovered and very grateful in Brooklyn. So step four, I'll admit, was extremely difficult for me because I always felt others had wronged me, and I was the victim. And here I had to look at myself and see my behavior. I had to get to know who Leah really is and what Leah is. It wasn't about the other person, and that was difficult for me to do. And I found that I needed to go back to step three and bring God into my heart, that I have God with me, and sort of like an approval kind of thing, so that I don't have to defend myself all the time. And then I was able to objectively look at me and to see, you know, Leah wants this and Leah wants that. And you know what? This kind of reaction was not something that I would like to see in me again. And bring it up to the surface and discuss it with my sponsor. And I was able to continue on. And I'll have you know that I did step 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 all in one day with my sponsor. And it was the most relieving, the most liberating kind of experience that I have ever had. It was so unbelievable. But then again, in order to do step four, you need to go into step 1, 2, and 3. And each and every day, they say that this is a disease and it's reliant on the contingency of doing these steps all the time, every single day. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Leah S. Okay, Sandy W., you're up next, followed by Diana K.
Oh, thanks so much, Kathleen. Thanks for your service. This is Sandy W., gratefully recovered in Connecticut. and wow, looking for my fault in things. Well, that was really hard for me. You know, I think I'd spent my entire life blaming others for my mistakes and my hardships. I've been thinking a lot this morning about a reading from one of my daily readers. It reminded me that this power that our program connects us to, I call him God, that God's power is unlimited. You know, I know we read, I wish I was more of a big book scholar, I think it's in We Agnostics, that who am I to limit the power of God? But I certainly did that prior to recovery, because I always assumed that God was just too busy dealing with world hunger or other world problems to have time to help me with my hunger, with my eating issues. But what that reading pointed out to me was that on my more challenging days, you know, like those when I'm working at this point in step four and trying to disregard the other person involved entirely, that on those challenging days, God empowers me even more accordingly, that the degree to which I receive his power is based on the difficulty of my circumstances and my willingness to depend on him for help. You know, it suggested viewing challenging days as opportunities to receive more power than usual, that all I need to do is look to him for what I need and watch, see what he can do. You know, that concept just reminded me of the miracle that recovery is, that one day at a time I get to live a recovered life, abstinent and happily so. It started me thinking about those, I think they're like the made for TV commercials where they offer one thing and then they'll say, and there's more, and you get this with it, and there's more, and you get, you know, the extra attachment, and it goes on and on. It just got me thinking about, you know, that God can handle even my biggest challenges, and there's more, he can handle all my fears, and there's more, he can handle my character defects. You know, and the list goes on and on. But even as I put down, list my faults in black and white, he empowers me through that process, and there's always more that he can do. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much. Thanks again, Kathleen.
Thank you, Sandy W. Okay, Diana K., your turn, followed by Sandra C.
Thank you. This is Diana K., compulsive eater in Seattle, Washington. And excuse me, got a little bit of a cold. and I'm just trying to get past a relapse that I had. And I'm looking at this paragraph and looking at where that happened or where that began, and you know, my own selfishness and dishonesty. And, you know, I was at a family reunion last weekend, and as with a brother of mine that, you know, always triggers stuff for me, and I started just getting on him about old things that happened in the middle of a group when we were teenagers and the danger he put me in, and you know, again looking at him to somehow apologize or feel really bad about it, and, you know, hurting him. And he even told me later, he said, look, I don't want you to tell me about that anymore. It really hurts. And that actually really helped me to see my part. I know that situation is what triggered my relapse, that resentment that I still, you know, my dishonesty about trying to force an apology, not dealing with my own feelings about what had happened. And anyway, I was really, really wrong to hurt him in that way. And so I feel like that's a beginning for me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Diana K. Okay, Sandra C., you're up next, followed by Donna B. Star one to unmute, Sandra.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Cassandra C. in Nevada, and happy Veterans Day to everyone. I am so glad that we read this paragraph this morning, because I did go to my sister's birthday party, and by the grace of God and this program, I was able to remain abstinent throughout the whole weekend. And I love this reading because I have to look at the part I played in the dysfunction of my family and my people. I have to, because I was not perfect. As a child, I was not perfect. And as I was in meditation this morning, meditation and prayer, I said I was not going to revisit the great wrong that I did to my family and to my people. And after reading this today, I realized that I have to make amends for the wrong that I did. Some people audibly, some silently, but I still have to make those amends. I can say I don't want to look at it again, and I'm not going to visit it again, but I have to in order to free myself and to free those who I love. So at that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Cassandra C. Okay, Donna B., your turn, followed by Dion R.
Thank you. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater, calling from Denver, Colorado. And thank you for the opportunity to share. I've heard many say that it was hard for them to identify their part. And for me, my experience is different in that blaming myself and taking responsibility for everything that was falling apart around me was actually very natural for me. My mom was a rageaholic and constantly yelled at me and blamed me and pointed out all the ways in which I was failing to meet her expectations. My father was too weak or scared to defend me. So I had two models which I internalized. One model was blaming myself for everything, and the other model was never coming to my own defense. So when I got to this part of looking for where I did wrong, in some cases, I over-exaggerated my responsibility. And in looking at my own dishonesty, I often, even in my 10 steps that I do to this day, part of my dishonesty is, it is dishonest for me to think I have that much power. It is dishonest for me to think I'm a higher power. It's dishonest for me to think that the entire situation is entirely my fault. So it's very important that I do this step with a sponsor, and especially a sponsor that I've built a relationship with that knows my tendency to over-exaggerate the damage that I can cause and to remind me constantly that I'm just not that powerful. Yesterday I did a 10-step regarding my 12-and-a-half-year-old daughter after spending 4 hours at the mall. And for anyone who has a teenage daughter, whatever you're imagining 4 hours in the mall looked like, yes, that's exactly what happened. And I snapped at my daughter. And, you know, I told my sponsor all these horrible things about me. And she helped me to see that my response was actually appropriate to the situation at hand. So for those of us who over-exaggerate our responsibility, who are accustomed to being scapegoats, I pray for you as I pray for myself, for the willingness to be kind and the willingness to know when I'm not being kind to myself. Thanks. Time and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Donna B. Okay, Dion R., you're up next. And I think I heard a Sarah in there, so we might have time for you, Sarah, after Dion. If you're still on there, you can let me know. Okay, so go ahead, Dion, please.
Yes, hi. Good morning. This is Dion Orr from Ohio, and referring to our list and putting out of the minds everything everyone done to me and everything. That was hard, very hard at first. But the more you practice, the more I practice, the better I get at looking at where am I selfish, self-seeking, this frightening. Someone come up to me and just be blatantly rude. It seems like everyone in the whole world would say they were wrong. I still have to say, where was I selfish, Dion? Where are you self-seeking and frightening? First of all, I learned through this program to pause. You know, first of all, I'm not a superhuman. I am a human being, but to be able to pause and take a deep breath, Father, thy will, not mine, be done. Serenity prayer, somebody, anything to get me out of my human self. So when I do a human reaction to a perfectly seem like human thing, I'm still at fault. So the big book tells me, what do I do? You know, look where I'm being selfish, dishonest, seeking and frightened. And the gift of this program is before, instead of addressing that problem head on, the old way of doing things, the human seem like the okay way, and versus me doing it God's way, doing Dion's will versus God, others' will versus God's will. And this program has shown me how. You know, it doesn't mean that I have to crawl or grovel or, you know, be a someone's batting tool, emotional. I've heard many people share today. I don't have to be emotional, abusive equipment or anything for someone. I don't have to be a garbage can. But what I can do is I've learned how, because all those things are going to come up. Selfishness is going to pop up. It's not like God removed all of them. I'm clear. I'm good. I'm done with the steps. They're going to pop up again, but I'm having them better now. With now, the good thing and the blessing is I don't have to blame others. I don't have to live in that fault. I don't have to carry on that victim role. I don't have to do any of that today just because today. Why? Because I choose to do something different. It's just the inventory is mine. You know, Dion, yeah, some things weren't my fault, but the things that are, look at that and let my higher power take care of it. I'm going to end with this. Someone told me, like, it was like, if someone did something, stole from you, what they didn't steal from you, they stole from your higher power, so let him have. You do your part and let him do the rest, and man, the dividends is great after that. It's like he will outpay the best employer in the world, I tell you. With that, I'll pass. Hope you all have a great day. Continue on the road to recovery. Take care.
Thank you, Dion R. Okay, was there a Sarah in there that I missed? Maybe not. Okay. So we have time for one more share. Would someone like to take the last few minutes?
Anna M.
Okay, go right ahead.
Oh, thank you so much for your service, and thank you everyone on the line. This is Anna M. I'm from Connecticut, recovered. And, you know, I appreciate the reminder. I love this meeting for the reason that it just continues to repeat over and over the process of working the steps and the fourth and the fifth step. In this case, the fourth step and later the fifth step, but to look at my side of the street is like what this is about. This is the 12 steps of OA, and it's not about the other person anymore, because for so many years when I was in the disease, it was always about the other person, and it was never about me and what my part is. Now, realizing it's what I've done and how I can help change with God's help, and then, you know, moving down the road, like the fourth step is the beginning of the transformation. And then when we get down to when I get down to the 10th step every day, it's the same thing. It's the same process, and hopefully a shorter form, because I don't have the same pile up of defects. And, you know, and it's kind of like if I keep up with sweeping my side of the street regularly, I'm not going to have a lot of dirt to get up. I'm going to have whatever the day brought. And that's the beauty of looking forward into the 10th step is, you know, to keep myself on the track of spiritual, you know, being spiritual. That's what this program teaches. It's a spiritual program. And so I thank you again for your service, and thank you all for being on the line. I really appreciate it, Anna Hammond. I'm going to look forward to seeing you all at the end of the week at the convention. Thank you again for that, I pass.
And thank you, Anna M. We look forward to meeting you, too. And thank you, everyone. Smoking hot chairs this morning, you guys. Really, thank you for all those amazing chairs and for sharing your recovery. And a special thank you to Team Monday, Shelly E., Athena B., Becca R., Sandy W., Ramona A., and Reggie O., and everyone behind the scenes who helped make this meeting work. So we're going to close now with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Sandy W., will you please read a vision for you?
Yes, thanks, Kathleen. Sandy W., gratefully recovered in Connecticut, a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thanks, Kathleen, again.